I'm going to be reading to you from John's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 37 to 44. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father God, I just pray your blessing on Sarah as she speaks to us. I pray that you'll give her the words that you want her to say. And I pray that you will open our hearts to hear the words that you want us to hear. Amen.
Amen.
Do you know, I'm misunderstood. I thought I would have had an R at that point, or a like, you know, oh, no, of course you're not misunderstood. You know, sometimes my passion gets a bit overwhelming, and I was in my first ever meeting with the staff team this week, and I was sharing my passion full of love and joy, and I got called aggressive, I ask you. I mean, like, goodness knows what would happen when I do get aggressive. I mean, there'd be blood, sweat and tears, but hey, do you feel misunderstood? Young people, are you misunderstood by your parents? Do you feel misunderstood by your parents? No? Anybody? Yes? What about husbands? Do you feel misunderstood by your wives? Come on, husbands. Yes, come on. Will. What about wives? Do you think your husbands don't understand you? You know, wives, they go out, they do a bit of shopping, and that's enjoyable. And the men are like, "What are you doing? Going to be tortured." They don't understand, they misunderstand. So if you ever felt misunderstood, you are in good hands. Because the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood part of the Trinity. The third person of the Trinity. We're looking today at, can I believe in the Holy Spirit? Fully God is the Holy Spirit. And yet he's the part of the Trinity that we're like, ooh, don't really know about that. We believe in God the Father. Yes, he's the Almighty on the throne. We believe in the Saviour, Jesus, second person of the Trinity. But the Holy Spirit, ooh. Young people, if you were around about 60 years ago, would have been called the Holy Ghost. Ooh. Misunderstood. The Holy Spirit described as a dove, fire, wind, water, oil, the ghost, as I've said, powerful yet gentle, out there but close beside. No wonder he's misunderstood. Nobody can narrow him down. Nobody can put the Holy Spirit in a box, and that's a great thing for you and for me. If you are still confused by the end of this talk, you will join every Christian in the world, because everyone is confused by the Holy Spirit. And what God told me right at the start of preparing this sermon is the only way to really understand the Holy Spirit is to experience the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? You know, any of us that have experienced the Holy Spirit, we can't describe it, can we? But we know he's there. We know he's done something to us. We can't describe it, but it's wonderful. It's amazing. And so if I have not cleared up the Holy Spirit after, I've only lost 3 minutes. I've only got 17 minutes left now to describe the Holy Spirit. If I have not clarified that, then we're going to experience it, and then you will go out of here knowing what the Holy Spirit is. Let me give you a bit of an overview of the Holy Spirit. In Genesis, he was there. That's why we know that the Holy Spirit is eternal. That's why we know the Holy Spirit is fully God, because he was there at the beginning. In the beginning, the Spirit hovered over the waters. He was there. And he is the creator. He is the creative part of God. He flung the stars into space. He created. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's the creator, because he's with God the Father and God the Son. And in the Old Testament, we see him doing very specific things. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, slightly different to the New Testament, it's still the same, but manifests in a different way. And in the Old Testament, he comes in power. I love the whole Old Testament. I love reading the way that the Holy Spirit comes in power on just ordinary individuals to do extraordinary things, because that's the Christian faith, is it not? That the Holy Spirit comes upon you and upon me who are ordinary. I'm sorry to disappoint you. We are ordinary. But when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we do extraordinary things. And that's what happened in the Old Testament. The Old Testament came upon people to do extraordinary things. Samson, ordinary. But when the Spirit came upon him, could break chains. That's the Holy Spirit. Same then, same today. He came upon Daniel. Not to be strong physically, but to be strong emotionally. To stand in the face of lions wanting to eat him. And he had the courage because the Spirit of God was upon him. Ezekiel had something very different. He saw things. He saw wheels. He saw chariots. The Spirit of God came upon him. And he saw things of God that he was then able to tell other people. Moses couldn't talk, couldn't lead. Don't send me, Lord. Not me. I'm the wrong person. And yet when the Spirit of God came upon him, he was allowed, able to lead millions of people out of Egypt. That's what the Spirit of God does. And then Isaiah, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor and to set the captives free. Used by Jesus as well in Luke. That's what the Spirit of God did. He came specifically on people to do extraordinary things. But the thing that is lacking in the Old Testament is the dwelling amongst people. See, the Spirit comes and the Spirit goes. He doesn't stay. And then something changes in the New Testament. Before we move on to the New Testament, don't be mistaken that the power of God was only for to do extraordinary things. You see, the heavenly man, who's ever read The Heavenly Man? Yeah? Did amazing things. A Chinese person, Chinese Christian, not allowed to worship God in the way that he wanted to, was captured, put in a box. He was able, because of the Spirit of God, to walk through guards, to do amazing things, extraordinary things. That was maybe 20, 30 years ago. Jackie Pullinger, you've heard of Jackie Pullinger, some of you? You know, she said, Spirit of God, come upon me. I'm going to get on a boat. I don't know where. I'm going to get on a boat. She gets on a boat. She arrives in Hong Kong. And she spends 50 years, because the Spirit of God was upon her, speaking to prostitutes, helping drug addicts, being in a compound that was filthy, but under the Spirit of God, she was able to do incredible things. People in Korea, North Korea, are not allowed to worship anyone apart from the leader. They have the Spirit of God upon them. Because in the concentration camps that they're in, they still pray and they still worship God. In Iraq, in any country where you're not allowed to worship God, those Christians have the Spirit of God on them. And you know what? You and I still can have that Spirit of God when a young person stands up in school and says, actually, I'm a Christian. The Spirit of God is on them. When a young person says, no to drugs. No, I'm not going to do that. It's not the way of God. The Spirit of God is upon them. When you in the office say, actually, I'm not going to get involved in this gossip. Yes, it would be easy to join in, but I'm going to say no because it's not right. The Spirit of God is upon you. But then Jesus comes. Amazing, Jesus comes. And it's the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is a huge, long feast. It lasts for a number of days. But on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stands up and he gets a jug of water, I can imagine, and he pours it. And it's hot and it's dusty and they've been there for quite some time. And he gets this water and he says, "All who are thirsty, come to me and drink from me." And this water is overflowing. Now, previously, in the previous years, that was about God blessing the land, blessing the Jews, thanking God for the water, the rains, asking God to bless them for the rains for the next year. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles, the last day, was about. But Jesus changes it. He says, you know, come to me. I will give you this overflowing life. I will give you something that will, you will never, like, if you're thirsty, it will, you can have abundance. Now, at that point, Jesus had not been crucified, he had not been resurrected, he hadn't gone back to heaven, so the Holy Spirit still hadn't rested upon the earth. But they were waiting. The Holy Spirit was promised to all who were thirsty, all who were weak. You see, the Christian life is hard, yeah? Anyone who's been a Christian, it is hard. But you know, the Christian life is meant to be overflowing. Your Christian life is meant to be full. In another part of John's Gospel, it says, "I have come that you may have life to the full." And the only way you can have life to the full is have this overflowing of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. We have to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus, he is with us in the troubled times. He's with us in the hard times. It's never easy. But he does promise us life in abundance, overflowing. That's what we're meant to be walking in. Even when there is cancer, even when there is death, even when there is hurt, we are still meant to be walking in abundant life. Life overflowing. And that can only be achieved with the Holy Spirit just dwelling amongst us, filling us. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was for specific people, mainly for the Jews. But in the New Testament, it's for everybody. Nobody is excluded. Everybody can receive this gift. Jesus says, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send someone who's going to be with you always, that is going to do greater things than I can do if I stay here with you. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is the same power that is given to us as a gift. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and then you will have power when it comes on you to witness to Samaria, to Judea, to Jerusalem, and the rest of the world. Everyone who believes receives this. In the New Testament, Paul says, if you believe in Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. So anyone sitting here tonight who has received Jesus into their hearts, who has become a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt about it. That is Christian. That is biblical. We believe that. But New Testament talks about receiving the Holy Spirit, going on to receive the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word that is used throughout the New Testament in the book of Acts is a word that says about going on, be filled, but continually, not just a one-off. It's like fuel in a car. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could fill up our cars at the moment and a one-off filling of the fuel would last us for the rest of our Christian lives? Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah, it's not going to happen though, is it? But yet some of us think that's what the Holy Spirit is like. Some of us think that's what being a Christian is like. We become a Christian, Maybe you become a Christian at Alpha. Maybe you become a Christian when you were young. Maybe you become a Christian at work. And we know we receive Jesus as our Savior. And then we think, okay. And then we go on. And then we wonder why we're feeling a bit faint. We wonder why we're feeling a bit dry. We wonder why we're feeling a bit shriveled up. And what we read today in the book of John, it's very poignant because we're in a drought physically, aren't we? We're in a drought physically. How many 13 places have been declared as a drought in the UK? I never would have thought that I would be in a country where we have a drought. You know, you look at the pictures, don't you? And you just see dry and barren land. You see the trees that are already in a false autumn because they've been scorched, they've been burnt up. We're in a drought. And just like when those rains came, or was it Monday? The rains came and it was wonderful. And it filled the land a little bit. That's what Jesus is talking about in this passage. He's saying, you're living on empty, some of you. Some of you are dry. You're on a drought. And you need the Holy Spirit to just come and wash over you, to come and fill you, so that you can not be that brown, dirty, dry land, but that you can be that luscious green fields. You know, in spring, in about February, March, we saw the green, didn't we? And the trees were blossoming in March and April, and it was beautiful and it's luscious. That's what our lives should be like. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, the New Testament says, that's what it's like. So, what does he do, this Holy Spirit? I say he. It's because he's referred to in the New Testament as a he. So what does he do? Well, we know that he manifests in different ways. There's not a one-size-fits-all with the Holy Spirit, which is a good thing. Whenever the Holy Spirit has filled me and empowered me and come upon me, different things happen all the time, okay? So he does manifest in different ways because he's God and because he wants to meet with you individually. You know, we are the only religion who has the Almighty living with us. No other religion has the transcendent, almighty, powerful God living with them. We do. Isn't that amazing? No other religion does that, but God, the Holy Spirit, does. He lives within our hearts. And so he knows us and he knows what we need. And so that's why he manifests in different ways. These are the things that I've seen. These are the things that I've observed over my short life. Obviously, I'm only 21, so it's not been long. But, you know, what I see when I go to Christian events, what I learn at the theological college, what I read from Scripture. The first thing is the Holy Spirit should not be feared. So many people fear the Holy Spirit. Oh no, can't have that. They fear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should not be feared because God should not be feared. Now that's because he's been misrepresented in maybe unhelpful ways. But God is the complete opposite of fear. You should never fear going into God's presence. It says you should fear the Lord, but that's not in a terrified way. That's in a, oh my gosh, way. You should never fear the Holy Spirit. Never fear what the Holy Spirit's doing. Never fear those tingling feelings that you have. Never fear when you see someone maybe experiencing the Holy Spirit. You mustn't fear it. God is a God of love and is not a God of fear. And so when people experience the Holy Spirit, what I've seen is when they're filled, they are filled with God's love. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's showing you and letting you experience God's love. Do we not want to experience God's love? And that's what it is. I don't know anyone who has experienced the Holy Spirit, been filled with the Holy Spirit, and come away going, well, I don't feel very loved. I haven't met with God. I feel quite, you know, rejected. Normally they come away going, oh, God loves me. I feel God. So he shouldn't be feared. And it's about being filled with God's love. Another thing that might happen, and what happens in the New Testament, and what happens at certain times, is there's joy or laughter. You know, God is a happy God. You know, God laughs. You know, God is like a really joyful God. Sometimes we picture him as a bit of a mean traditionalist. I mean, he is traditional for those that are traditional. But he's also full of joy. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you want to be strengthened in your Christian life, you've got to know the joy of the Lord. And sometimes when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, start laughing. You don't want to be around anyone that's laughing because it's contagious, just to let me know, just to let you know. But, you know, sometimes people get filled with joy and laughter. That's okay, because God is a joyful God. God sits on his throne, not angry, but with a big smile on his face. Another thing that happens, and we saw this at Pentecost in the New Testament, is that sometimes people start to speak in tongues. They start to speak in a language that other people around them don't understand. Sometimes they do understand it, and they speak in a maybe Russian or Japanese that they didn't know that they could speak, but sometimes there's this heavenly language that people start speaking because God has filled them. And that's okay. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. You're not any better Christian if you have tongues. You're not any worse Christian if you don't. Sometimes God does that. It's not weird. Don't fear it. It's God doing his thing with that person. Sometimes people fall to the ground. Now, Paul and Joyce prayed for me. They didn't really know me. And I said, I need to be prayed for. And poor Joyce, I took her out. I remember. She ended up on top of me, bless her. And I felt really bad at that, but neither of us was hurt. Because I've never known anyone to fall under the presence of God and be hurt. Have you ever known anyone? No? Because it's an amazing thing. And it's not people just falling because they can't bother to stand up anymore. It's just an overwhelming experience of God, because God's a great big God. You know, and when God fills you, sometimes you just need to relax and just fall under the presence of God. And that's okay too. Nothing's happened to them. They're not dying. I mean, obviously, if you're a prayer, you just need to check they're still breathing, you know. But it's an amazing thing. Some people, it happens to some people and it doesn't happen to others. And that's okay. It's not weird. You wouldn't call me weird, would you? It's okay. I was in, we're not worrying about time today either. I just needed to tell you that we're just waiting on God. So if you do need to go at any point, that's absolutely fine. But I want to tell you a story. I went to New Wine once. Now, bearing in mind, I came from a Brethren background, okay, where the Spirit wasn't mentioned, okay. I was baptised in a Brethren church. I really want to be baptised again, but the Anglicans are against that for some reason. I don't know. I'm joking. So I was quite, oh my gosh, this spirit stuff is a bit weird, okay? And I went to Bible college and I saw some people raising their hands and I thought they were possessed by the devil, but then I read the New Testament and thought that's okay. So I got over all that, and then I went to New Wine, okay? Who's been to New Wine? Who's heard of New Wine? Okay, New Wine is a Christian festival where it's a little bit free. And so I was like, oh. And I wanted to be prayed for, but I thought, oh, nothing's going to happen. And then they call people forward. Oh, those that have got like one leg, come forward. And I've got two. And those that need praying for sickness. And I was like, I don't know. And those that need love in their life. And I felt quite loved at that time. And no, it didn't. No, I wasn't called forward. And I was really annoyed. And I was like, I come to New Wine and I want the presence of God. And I want to be feeling it. And I'm not, and I'm getting angry with God. So this woman comes up to me, can I move? Okay. This woman comes up to me and says, would you like me to pray for you? I was like, you can if you like. And she prayed for me. About 30 chairs were taken out at this point. I couldn't stand on my feet. You know, like these chairs are not like, they're not stable ones like this. I took them all out. I couldn't get up. Anybody that tried to get me up then was on the floor with me. We were laughing, but it was all okay. All right? Because I just can't stand up sometimes. In the New Testament, they thought they were drunk, you see. I wasn't drunk. I was drunk on the Spirit of God. Amazing thing happened that day. I was free. I wasn't expecting God to do anything. I was a bit annoyed at him because he hadn't called me forward. And then I was just blessed, overwhelmingly. A smile stayed on my face for days because that's what God does. And people still talk about it, that we're at that experience. And, you know, it changes your life. Now, it's not about the experience itself. It's about what it does after. You know, people can fall on the floor. People can speak in tongues. People can feel, can shake. Some people shake. You know, some people can feel warmth. It all happens in different ways. It's not about that. It's about what it does to your heart and what it then powers you into, what it propels you into. Because remember, we are Christians that are here to change the world. Yeah? We are Christians that are here to tell people about Jesus. That's what we're doing next week. You know, anyone can put on a family fun day with a few inflatables and some quizzes and some craft. Anyone can do that. But what we do is we do it in the name of Jesus, and we tell people because we want to tell people about Jesus. We want to tell them that Jesus can change their life, their circumstances. And that's what it does. These moments that you have when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not about that. It's about what it propels you into. It's about giving you the courage to speak to your friends and your family. It's about giving you the strength to face situations that you can't do on your own. It's about being at school and being proud to be a Christian and not hiding the fact that you're a Christian. It's about, as parents, you know, being able to parent your children in a way that we can't do humanly. That's what it does. It changes your heart, fills your heart to go on and do great and marvelous things. That's what it is about. It gave Peter courage. In the New Testament, he stood up and he spoke to 3,000 people. It gives people courage. It gave Paul freedom. He wanted to go and kill the Christians. He wanted to go and murder them. He experiences the Holy Spirit. He loves the Christians. Changes his heart. Gives him freedom. It turns people like my friend Mick, who was an atheist, and he was in the toilet in a funeral. He was an undertaker, and he went into the toilet, and the Holy Spirit came in, knocked him to the floor, and he was a Christian ever since. Believed in God, powerful. That's what it does in the toilets. That's what Jesus does through the Holy Spirit. And Mo, I always talk about Mo. She lives in Plymouth. She hated life. Hated God. Told me what she said. I'm gonna come and see you. I never met this woman in my life. When I was in Plymouth, she said, "I'm gonna come and tell you why I don't believe in God." I thought, that's interesting to tell a minister why you don't believe in God. And she came, and I said, "Come to the church service on Sunday." She goes, "All right, I'll come to the church service on Sunday." She came to the church service on Sunday. I called her forward, and she experienced God, and has never looked back. And you know, her life is really hard. But she feels that this is part of her family. She watches on the live stream because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, changes her life. So if you want to be filled, if you want your life overflowing, you know, you see the pictures of the dry and barren land, but you also see the pictures of the luscious green grass. If you want a life that is luscious, overflowing, you know, you've got to experience the Holy Spirit. You've got to have him fill you. You cannot run on empty. In the school, you need Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit in school. In church, we need him. In the home life, in family, in the workplace. We need God to overflow us with his Spirit. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to wait on God. And that's why I say that actually, if this goes a little bit over time, that's okay. If you need to go, feel free to go. But we're going to wait on God, because I don't believe he gave me this sermon at the beginning of the week just to speak. Actually, he wants you to experience. Now, some of you are terrified now. I see your feet wanting to run out. But you know that God wants to do something in your heart tonight. Some of you have been a Christian a long time, but you're feeling a bit, oh, that's the Holy Spirit needs to fill you. The band would like to come back. First of all, I'm going to pray for the band. Come, please. Oh, excuse me. If the prayer ministers want to come out, you know who you are.